also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Carol and I are teaching a class on the Old Testament this summer, and it's 12 weeks long, which is really short, because the Old Testament is huge. The Old Testament has lots of history, all kinds of different and strange people and cultures, and it has 60,000 more words than War and Peace, which kind of puts it in perspective. But there are two basic fundamental truths that are really important to understand about the Old Testament, if you're a Christian especially. And the first is this, that there is not an Old Testament God that's different than, or separate from, or other than the New Testament God, whether you mean Jesus or the Father that Jesus reveals in the Gospels. As Christians, we proclaim there's just one God in the Bible, one God in the world, one God in all of history, one God the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is what we claim to be true, and it makes reading the Old Testament challenging sometimes. But if you don't understand that, you can't really understand the Old Testament or the New Testament. So that's one. And the second truth is this, that God's relationship with his people is different in the Old Testament than it has been ever since Jesus came. The coming of Jesus was the watershed event in history. And so God's presence in the church today is not the same as God's presence was in the nation of Israel. And we can see how that plays out when we read the story of Naaman today. When Naaman found out he had leprosy, he had no hope for a cure. Lepers eventually would become outcasts. They would live and die alone, slowly but surely. So he had no hope until this little slave girl that he had carried off in a raid on Israel told him that she knew about a prophet in Samaria who served the God of Israel, and that that prophet had the power to heal even such a terrible disease as leprosy. Now in those days, people Everyone believed that each region had its own god. Every nation had its own local gods and goddesses who were thought to belong to that particular land. And the people carved wood and stone images of their deities, and they worshiped them, and they made sacrifices to them in hopes of keeping them happy, because that's what religions are, ways of keeping gods happy and seeking their favor, so they would have good crops and good health and safety from their enemies. And so in those days, the infinite, eternal God set his presence in the region of the people that he had chosen for his own. But unlike all the gods of all the neighboring countries, Israel's God actually did stuff. He spoke to his people. He gave them a set of laws to live by. And people noticed that the God of Israel was not like the gods of the nations. People like the little slave girl who told her master, "In my country, there's a prophet who can heal your leprosy." And Naaman was so convinced that Israel's God was the real deal, because he was healed, that when he went back to Syria, completely healed of his leprosy, he took with him 2 mule loads of earth, dirt, Israeli dirt, so he could stand on Israeli soil in his own homeland and worship the true God of Israel the rest of his life. And that God who healed Naaman is the same God that we worship, the God who is real, the God who acts, who does stuff, the God who heals people. As far as who God is, nothing has changed. But as far as who the people of God are, everything has changed. Because the presence of God isn't contained within a nation or a building anymore. And the power of God isn't limited to a special prophet like Elisha. The power and presence of God are in his people. Every one of his people. Everyone in this building. Everyone in the churches of Norwood. Everyone in God's churches all over the world. And they are to go out into the world that needs healing. And that's what the gospel reading is about today. In Luke 9, in chapter 9, the chapter before the one that we read today, Jesus had sent out the 12, the men that we call the apostles. But now, we read today in chapter 10, Jesus sends out 70 more disciples, 70 men or maybe men and women who had heard Jesus or been healed by Jesus or been touched by him in some way, so they have decided to follow him. And those 70 people are like us. In many ways, those 70 people are the prototype for the church. Because before the first Christians began meeting for worship and Holy Eucharist in the early days after the resurrection, before the disciples even got the name Christians, while Jesus was still living and walking and teaching on the earth among us, first and most importantly, he sent his disciples out into the world, into the villages, into people's homes, to heal the sick and to bring hope. And that is still the church's most important business. Being the people of Jesus, being the church, means to bring the love and the healing of God into the world. And I think what is hard for us sometimes to figure out is what that looks like in Norwood, New York in the year 2016. We are not rugged peasants in sandals walking the dusty roads of Palestine from village to village. We don't meet blind beggars in the marketplace. We don't meet lepers on the outskirts of town. And we haven't been called to be missionaries to remote people and places. That's the kind of thing we imagine when we think of going out like these disciples. For us, the sick around here go to urgent care or to the emergency room, and they wait a long time, let me tell you. And the poor are referred to the appropriate social services. Sometimes it seems like it's a lot harder for modern people to go out and do Christianity the way the disciples of the New Testament did it. The specialists all seem to have the caregiving thing covered, and we have so much other stuff in our lives to take care of, jobs and family responsibilities and houses and cars. So many things that require us to care and And then other people, our neighbors, people on the street, their lives are mostly full of stuff and busyness too. I found in my pleasant little neighborhood on Prospect Street, where I love living, that I can sometimes go several days without even seeing, let alone talking, to my next door neighbor. If we didn't have to walk our dogs, I might go weeks without talking to people. It's very common not to have any neighborly contact at all. We are a society of self-contained units, and we're programmed from childhood to take care of our own and to earn our way and not to ask for help. That's the way the things are set up around here. And then on the other hand, we find ourselves overwhelmed with the needs of the world. We see war and famine and all manner of cruelty and violence on the news until we just have to turn it off to avoid being crushed by it all. We get phone calls and emails and letters in our mailbox asking for donations for medical research and mission work and famine relief and goodness knows how many other things, until we find ourselves just automatically filing them in the trash bin and screening our phone calls so that people won't bother us during dinner. That is real life in the now, but it does not accomplish the bringing of God's love into the world. And it doesn't do much healing of hurts, and it doesn't do much shining of light into the darkness, even if we do write out a check now and then for some worthy charity. We're not in first century Palestine anymore, but the truth is that the world needs the love and healing of God more than ever. And we are still being sent out by the same Jesus that sent those 70 people out. Notice he didn't send them out alone. That's important. He sent them out two by two. That's why he gives us one another as companions to keep each other going, to remind each other what we're here for, to protect each other. Because Jesus said it himself, he sends his people out like sheep among wolves. Though I think on occasion it's good for the church to remind each other that we're not the wolves either. We need the community of the church. We aren't supposed to be Lone Ranger Christians. And even more, Luke says Jesus sent them where he was going himself. The church doesn't work on the corporate model, with Jesus as CEO and his disciples going off carrying out his orders. We are his co-workers forever. The 70 work alongside Jesus in the flesh, and we work alongside Jesus too. Jesus told us he's with us always, even to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit is his real presence with us at all times, in all places, at home, in the grocery store, at the doctor's office, waiting room, on our street, at the thrift shop, at the community dinner, everywhere we are. And in every place that he sends us, as commonplace and uninteresting as it seems, there are people in need of healing. Everywhere we go, people need healing of so many different kinds. They need a little friendship. They need a little kindness. That's in short supply around here. A little light, a little hope, a little compassion. And not everybody's going to appreciate what we offer. Some people have been so badly wounded. Some people have closed themselves in so tightly that they're too afraid or too angry to open up and let the light in. Don't take it personally, Jesus told the disciples. When they turn you away, they're turning me away. But notice, his message is the same for all. When people welcome you, he said, heal all the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. When people reject you, Jesus said, then wipe the dust off your feet and go on your way and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Sometimes bringing the love of God close to people is the best we can do. And the rest of the cure is God's work. He's very good at what he does. But the key is to keep our eyes open and our heart open to the people God is sending us to. We might ask him each morning to guide us to that one person who needs us today. We might ask him to give us the courage to say something, anything at all. Sometimes that's hard enough. Or maybe the wisdom to know the right thing to say or do. We can can ask to grow in generosity, because the more we have, and we have a lot, the harder it is for us to hold it lightly and to be willing to let it go for the sake of others, whether that's our time or our money or our energy or our dignity or our privacy. For myself, I know I need over and over again to ask for a greater measure of compassion, because it's so easy to grow this hard shell of protection around our hearts when we begin to see, really, the loneliness and the fear and the sadness around us. We just shut down sometimes. But know this, to be the people of Jesus is to be on a mission every day in the midst of a suffering world. He's sending us out. And the harvest is greater than we can even imagine. There are so many people who live without hope. There's so much poverty of so many different kinds. There's so much sickness and loneliness and fear. The world, you can just feel the fear in the world when you listen to the news, when you read messages on Facebook, when you listen to the political campaigns. We are just a little handful of laborers here. But our Lord Jesus goes with us, and we have each other. And the kingdom of God is truly coming here.